So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5:8, and let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come before you. Lord, what a blessing it was to worship you this morning. What a blessing it is to open your word. We pray, Lord, you'd speak to us. Lord, as we study your ways, we pray you would enlighten our understanding. And Lord, you would grant us the faith to receive what you have for us and to put it in practice in our lives. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. As we think about what Paul's doing in the book of Ephesians, remember, he's shown us what we're called to, and then he's urged us to live that way. Live worthy of your calling. Live not in the old ways, but in the new ways. Live a life of love. And now he shifts from that idea of love to this idea of light. He says, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. So that means our way of life, our daily living, our walk is going to be different than it was before. It's going to be a walk as children of light. And remember, children of something, that refers to our nature, our character. So our character has been changed from one of darkness to one of light. And we're to live that way. We're to live according to that change in our nature. Now we're children of light. Now we're children of light. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now, it's very interesting the way Paul puts this, because he doesn't say you were once in the darkness, which is true, right? We were in the dark. I don't know what your conversion experience was like, or even if you've really been converted. But for many people, their description of coming to the Lord is one of having the light turned on. I think I even used that when I gave my testimony. This morning I was reading just a little bit of the history of Hudson Taylor, who was one of the pioneer missionaries in China, just transformed our thinking about mission and how we're to go live as Christ among the people who need to hear about him. And he adopted their clothing and he adopted their hairstyle. And in those days, you know, the men shaved the front of their hair, grew the back long, and braided it, kind of like some of the bikers. Except they don't shave it, it's just bald. But he did that on purpose and adopted Chinese clothing and got a lot of ridicule from the other missionaries because of this. They said, that's wrong, you know, they should be adopting our ways because we're more civilized. And he said, no, you're not getting it. God's sending us to them with the message. Well, he was describing his conversion, and he said it was as if the light were turned on. Light suddenly shone into my soul, and all of a sudden I could see. So we were once in darkness, and now we are in the light. When that light shines and we see the truth, all of a sudden we see what's been going on. Do you remember what that was like for you? Where all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, this thing about Jesus is totally different than I thought. You know, I thought it was, you know, these people on a power trip, they're trying to impose their will on us. You know, they're giving us all these laws you have to live by. You can't do anything fun. You know, what a bummer. And if that were all it was, it would be a bummer, wouldn't it? And then all of a sudden the light comes on and you realize, wait a minute, we're talking about a holy, awesome God, and I'm a sinner before him, and yet he sent his son to die for me. To pay for my sin. It's just like, wow. It just blows us away. And the light shines in our lives. All of a sudden we see. We see. We were in the dark, but now we see. In the letter of 2 Corinthians, second letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, even if our gospel is veiled, it's hard to see, it's hidden from our sight. It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. God shines his light into the world, and Satan is trying to blind us from seeing that. Sometimes you talk to people and you say, you know, wow, this makes so much sense. Christianity just makes so much sense. If I just explain it to them, they'll believe it. And some people do, right? We explain it to them. They go, wow, why didn't anybody ever tell me this before? And their eyes are open, and they put their trust in Jesus and his death on the cross for their sin. Other people, you explain it to them, and they say, that doesn't make any sense. And so you explain it again, and they say, that doesn't make any sense. And you explain it a different way, and you try to argue with them, and you tell them it does make sense. And they say, no, that's ridiculous. What's happened? Their eyes are shut. They've been blinded by Satan. We need to be praying for people's eyes to be opened, to see the light. God is light, and he's shining light in this world, and yet not everyone can see it. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. It's hard for us to understand, but think about it in the physical realm. Light is something that enables us to see, right? Light shines from these lights. It reflects off the walls. It reflects off the podium. It reflects off our Bibles. And through that reflection comes to our eyes, and we're able to see. If there were no light, we'd be totally blind. Had an older student in my dorm when I was a freshman in college, and he was a geology student. And he took us, a graduate student, and he took us, a bunch of us, into some of the caves around campus. And there was one where you had to go down and around, and you got to a point where basically it was totally dark. There was no light at all. And he said, now, everybody turn off your flashlights and wait for a minute. He said, now, take your hand and bring it up to your face until you can see it. And, you know, basically you couldn't see it. You got it all the way onto your face, and you still couldn't see it because there was no light at all. Without light, we're blind. So take the example of someone who's born blind. There's nothing different about them otherwise, other than their vision, right? It doesn't limit them from understanding, doesn't limit, keep them from living. You know, they can interact with their environment. They can think logically, as logically as anyone else can. They can come up with an idea, a model of the world that's logically consistent. They can work, they can live, they can love, they can do everything anybody else can do, except they can't see. And if they were born blind, they have no clue what that means. You can try to explain colors to them. They can't get it. They're not able to get it. You know, you can go into the physics and you can say, well, you know, light is refracted and the different wavelengths form different colors as they come into the retina of the eye. You know, we have cones and rods that translate them to blah, 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 blah. And that makes no more sense to them than it does to most of us anyway. But they can't understand it because they can't see. And it's the same way in the spiritual world. If you're blind until your eyes are open, you can't see. It doesn't make sense. We proclaim the gospel and we pray at the same time that God will open eyes. And as God opens eyes and as the gospel is proclaimed, all of a sudden people see. And they see the truth about God, and they see the truth about themselves, and they're converted from a life of self-centeredness to a life of Christ-centeredness. Paul says, we were once darkness. Not just in darkness, but we were darkness. What does darkness do? It just hides everything. It hides everything. In the dark, you can't find things. Even at night, you know, we have a little bit of light. We have the light reflected from the sun off the moon. We have the stars. Of course, in a city, we have street lights. You know, we have lights in the house. We have all this light around us. So even in the middle of the night, when you wake up and it seems really dark, after a little while, your eyes begin to get adjusted and you can see your way around a little bit. We have a little bit of light, but darkness hides things. Darkness hides things. It's like you go into the kitchen, and if it's a really dark night, you flip on the light. What do you not want to see? You flip on the light because you're afraid of what you might find, right? And every once in a while, depending on where you live, you might find a cockroach or a bunch of cockroaches. And I went to rent an apartment one time And I had this brochure from another city. I was going on an internship in college, and you go into the apartment expecting it to look like the one on the brochure. It's like, wait a minute, this is like a slum. And you go in there, and the bugs scatter, and the mice run away. And you flip on the light. You flip on the light where there are a bunch of roaches, and they scatter. That's like sin, isn't it? We try to hide it. It doesn't like the light. We were once darkness. We were places where sin hid. But Paul says, but now, we were this, but now things have changed. God has made us different. Now we are light, not just in the light, but we are light. Is that interesting? Because you see, when we look at light, we have two kinds of light, right? We have the light that's reflected off things, and then we have the light that's generated from things. The sun generates light. Light bulbs generate light. The moon doesn't generate light. It just reflects light. My paper looks light, but it's only because it's reflecting light. Paul doesn't say, you're reflecting the light here. That would be good enough, wouldn't it? If we were just reflecting the light of God in this world. But he says it goes beyond that. We should reflect that light, but it goes beyond that. You are light in the Lord. If you're in the Lord, he's in you. And God is light, and he makes us light. We take on his nature, and we begin to shine in this world. At least we should. We should be shining in this dark world. Now, when you think about it, that has a good side and a bad side, right? Ever go you ever been in a party when someone turned on the light? One of those dark parties where people are back in the corner doing things they shouldn't do. Turn on the light and they say, oh, turn that off. They hate the light. They don't want the light. So if you're shining the light into other people's lives, they're not going to like it. And what are they going to do? They're going to try to get you to not shine the light. And they're going to do all kinds of things. They're going to say all kinds of things to get you to not shine the light. But if we are in Christ, we are light. We need to shine that light. Paul says, walk as children of light. Live this new life as children of light. Live in the light. What does that mean? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 also, which we quoted earlier a little bit later, Paul says, we have renounced the hidden things of shame. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. Think about that for a minute. We all have things we're ashamed of. Some of them are things we really shouldn't be ashamed of because they're just normal and natural. But some of them are due to our choices and our sins. And they make us ashamed. And what do? We hide them. Paul says, look, we're children of light. We've taken these things that we used to hide in the darkness, and we've renounced them. We've rejected them as part of our lives so that we can now live in the light. The Apostle John says that we're to live in the light. In fact, let's go there for just a minute. 1 John chapter 1. Starting with verse 5, he says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What's John saying? He's saying, look, God is light. We need to walk in his light. We need to practice the truth. And the way that we do that is we bring ourselves into the light. And he goes on, he talks about confessing our sins in order to have fellowship with God. What are we doing? We're bringing our sins before the light of God. We're exposing them to the truth of what God says about them and what he says about us. See, God recognizes what our hearts are like, And he wants to deal with them. He wants to change us. He wants to grow us. So what he offers to us is forgiveness. He says, I want you to bring your sins to me. I want you to confess them to me. If we confess them, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. But he wants us to bring those sins to his light. And this should be a regular part of our lives, where we're looking at our lives, where we're looking at our hearts. And when we see something we don't quite like, we don't say, oh, you know, I want to keep that. I'm going to hide that away. We say, no, this is not of the Lord. And we take it and we bring it before the Lord in prayer and we acknowledge it for what it is. Lord, this is the attitude of my heart. This is what you say about that attitude. This is sin. Lord, forgive me. Lord, free me. And that should be our way of life as a Christian. That's what it means for us to be walking in the light, at least part of what it means. We're bringing our heart into the light of God's word and letting him judge it. Not saying, oh no, you know, this is just the way I am. Lord, don't judge me here. You know, yes, I know you say this is sin, but really it's not in my case. And here's why, you know, Lord, I just couldn't help myself. You know, Lord, you made me this way. Lord, you know, the circumstances, blah, 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 blah. Lord, this only made sense. Lord, everybody else is doing it, blah, 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 blah. No, that's going back towards darkness. That's saying, I want to hold on to what God says is sin. No, what we want to do is we want to say, God says it's sin. Here it is in my heart. Lord, get rid of it. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Free me from this. You were once darkness, now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Children of light don't hide in the darkness. They don't hide part of their life in the darkness. They walk in the light. They walk in the light. And of course, to do that, we want to be people of the word, because God shines his light through his word. Remember, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's light, God's word lights our way and shows us the way to live. So Paul says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the light. A few manuscripts read Spirit there, but probably that's a copying error from Galatians, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit just a few pages back. Most manuscripts say the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And think about that. You have a tree. You plant a tree. What happens to that tree? If you plant it in a barrel in your closet or your garage where it gets no light, what's going to happen? It's not going to grow. It's probably going to die. And even if it manages to have enough light through the cracks, it's not going to bear fruit. But you plant that tree in a good spot where it gets water and where it gets nourishment, and where it gets light, it's going to grow. And the light is going to convert to energy, and it's going to bring the life. It's going to cause the life in that tree to multiply and to produce fruit. Same way in the Christian life. We need to be in the light. We need to be exposing ourselves to the light of God's word. And as we do that, the fruit of the light, the fruit of the light that's in us, the fruit of the light that God shines on us, is going to be goodness and righteousness and truth. God is going to produce that in us. Now, notice again, he doesn't say there's nothing we have to do with this, right? This is going to happen as we walk in the light. So when you look at your life and you say, wow, you know, there's not enough goodness in my life. There's not enough righteousness. There's not enough truth. You don't just say, okay, well, sooner or later there will be, because God's going to bring it about. No, you say, what do I need to do to have more goodness, to have more righteousness, to have more truth in my life? What I do is I walk in the light. I walk as children of the light. I expose myself to the word of God, and I respond in faith to it, obeying what God says, turning away from what he says is sin. And as we do that, God will bring forth fruit. Now, it is the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also the fruit of the light. So that's going to produce more life, more of God's life in our lives. And He is good, and He is righteous, and He is truth. And so we will grow in goodness, and we will grow in righteousness, and we will grow in truth. So He says, walk as children of light. This will be the fruit of that. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do you know the will of God? You know, as a pastor, sometimes people come to me and they ask me that, you know. And usually what they mean is one of two things. They either mean, I've got a decision to make here, and I need input into how to know what God wants me to do about this decision. Or else they're saying, you know, I really want to know what my life's going to be like in 10 years. God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? I need to know ahead of time so that I can make my life a little bit easier as I work in that direction. They don't usually say that, right? We don't say we want our lives to be easier. We just say, I want to know the will of God. Well, usually when you look at the Word of God, He shows you the will of God for now, not for 10 years down the road. He shows it to you for now. And you have a response of, are you going to respond in faith now? Or are you going to say, no, I really want to know these secrets? I think sometimes Satan distracts us by getting us worried too much about, you know, what our ultimate destiny is going to be in this world. We should worry about our ultimate destiny in heaven or hell, but then we should focus on what God's called us to do now. What's His will for us now? Well, as you walk in the light, you'll be finding that out. You'll be finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That's His will. What's pleasing to Him, right? That's not usually the way we look at the will of God, though, is it? We look at it as if it's a secret that we have to discover, that we have to figure out. Whereas really, it's just what is pleasing to God. That's His will. The will of God is what's pleasing to Him. If you want to know what the will of God is, you look at where He's recorded what's pleasing to Him in the Bible. As you study the Bible, you learn the will of God. And as you walk in the light, you're walking in the truth of the Bible, you'll be discovering the will of God. Now, there's a little more to it than this. Because this word finding out is the word for trying or testing something, putting it to a trial. What does that mean when it comes to finding out or trying what's acceptable to the Lord? Well, I think the key is that it's a process, and it's a learning process. You see, part of the reason we say, I want to know what God's will is for me down the road, is we don't want to make a mistake, right? We want everything to go perfectly, efficiently, and painlessly. And so we just think, Lord, if I knew exactly where You wanted me to be in 10 years, I could get there a lot more easily than I can not knowing. So, Lord, show me. No, the process, that's a process of understanding God's will. And that means there's some trial and error, right? There's that word, trial and error. Part of the way we grow in understanding God is we try to put His word into practice. We try to do what's pleasing to Him. We try to do what we think He wants. And guess what? Sometimes we're wrong and we make a mistake. But what we recognize is that we learn through that process. Just like when you're training your children, right? You can't prevent your children from ever making mistakes or they won't grow. They have to come to the point where they're able to try things out and figure out themselves whether this is right or this is wrong. We want them to develop that ability on their own. Now, we train them, we teach them, but there comes a point in time when we have to allow them to make their own decisions and learn from them. Sometimes you see people who've protected their children from the consequences of their decisions, and guess what? They don't learn to make those decisions looking at the consequences. It stunts their growth. So we want to recognize that about learning God's ways. So that as a congregation, we have some patience with each other. Because guess what? We're all learning that. We're all still learning that, right? I'm learning that. I'm learning the will of God. I'm learning what's pleasing to Him. still, I'll always be learning that, which means there will always be mistakes I'll make. There will always be mistakes we make. But what we want is we want the attitude of, hey, that was wrong, or I just made a mistake there. Lord, what do I want to learn from? What do you want me to learn from this? Not what do I don't want to learn. I want to learn what you want me to learn, Lord. And so we want to have an atmosphere in this church where we help each other learn. Not where we get freaked out when someone's making a mistake. But when, if we recognize that someone's making a mistake, we pray about it. And we pray about whether the Lord wants us to help them learn from it. But we still accept them as our brothers and sisters. You know, you can get an environment where people are paranoid to let other people know what's going on in their lives. Because they think, wow, if people knew about the mistake I made this week, they would totally reject me. And there are some churches that are like that. You know, if you did this week, don't come back to our church. That's not the way it should be, is it? Now, if you did this week, and you're determined you're going to do this every week of your life, and you don't care what God's word says about it, then maybe you shouldn't be here. But if you slipped into sin, you probably need a little bit of help. You probably need a little bit of prayer. Maybe you need a little bit more instruction. And don't we want the kind of church where we can help each other with that? This is a process that we learn what is acceptable to the Lord, when that we grow in His will. And we want the church to be a place where that's possible and where people are encouraged to grow. But he goes on in verse 11. He says, walk as children of light, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Darkness is not going to bear fruit, right? There are works of darkness, the things that you do in the dark that you don't want other people to know. Those things are not going to bear good fruit. They are going to bear fruit. It's just going to be bad fruit. It's going to be rotten fruit. So Paul says, don't participate in those things. Have no fellowship. There should be no commonality in those things. Now, we get involved in these things, and we need to watch ourselves. We need to look at, you know, how are we, what is our attitude when those we like, those our friends or whatever, are participating in works of darkness. What's our attitude? You know, typically, when we're younger, we see our friends doing something that's wrong, and we say, I'm not going to participate in that, but we go along with them. Remember what that was like? You know? I remember the first time in college in a room, somebody saying, hey, you know, going to go over here and do such and such. Come along. It's like, okay, I've never seen anybody do such and such before. You know, I'm not going to do it, but it's kind of interesting. I'm going to watch. So you just kind of watch, you know, oh, that's kind of interesting. You know, they don't look like they're losing their minds, right? They look like they're happy. That's kind of interesting. I have to think about that. You know, what are you doing? Here's a work of darkness that you're, in essence, going along with. You're not participating in it, but you're not rejecting it, right? You're allowing it to go on. You're participating in your mind. You're thinking, oh, what would it be like to participate in this? And we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of that, because those who are participating in these deeds of darkness want us to come along. They want to shut that light out. They want to snuff that light out because they don't like it. And so they'll talk to us about it. They'll encourage us to try it. You know, they'll tell us, you know, it's not going to hurt you, blah, 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 blah. And if we're not careful, we can get sucked into it. We can get sucked. And you read about that story about the kid at the falls in Washington. He'd been hot from hiking, and he decided, you know, he'd go in and swim a little bit, stay away from the current that led to the falls, just go in and swim a little. Guess what happened? He went a little too far. He got caught up in the current, and he very nearly died. He just barely managed to get onto this rocky ledge right before the water went over the falls. And it took hours to rescue him from that. It's very easy for that to happen in life, right? You know, we look at people who are swimming, looks like they're having fun. Doesn't look like there's any harm there. We don't see the current, or we don't see how strong it is, or we just don't pay close enough attention, and before you know it, we get swept into it. We have to be on guard. have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't participate in them. Don't participate by doing them. Don't participate by toying with them in your heart. Don't participate by thinking over what it would be like, you know, how nice it might be in your mind. Don't even go along with them physically sometimes. You have to separate yourselves from those things. But rather, expose them. Here are people doing a work in the darkness, a deed of darkness. What's our job? Expose them. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to expose the deeds of darkness? There are some people who've kind of made that their job, right? And we, you know, if you look around, you find their websites, their blogs, and, you know, their articles, and they'll encourage you to send them money so they can tell you about the deeds of darkness that you need to avoid. And this is not really what this word is saying. If you look at it in the context, right, we're to be light. What does light do? It illuminates. Light by itself exposes. Now, some people, it almost seems like they get pleasure from condemning others. By, you know, I read this guy's book and you wouldn't believe what he said in here. He said this, you know, it's a rotten sinner, and, you know, they build up this whole case about why this guy's messed up. And you know, sometimes we need that function in the church. We need that function of warning us when we're going in the wrong direction. There's a legitimate place for that. But it seems like in our modern internet age, there are a whole bunch of people that fancy themselves in that role, and they get some weird ideas sometimes. I've read some pretty crazy things. What is it that we do when we expose? Really, we shine the light. The focus is not on speaking here. The focus is on living. The focus is on living the light. The focus is not on having a platform where we talk about other people. The focus is on shining the light into the lives of the people around us. And the focus is not on condemning them for their sins. The focus is on enabling them to see clearly the things that they can't see. If they're walking in the darkness, they can't see the truth. They need someone to shine the light into their lives. Why? So that they have the possibility of turning. Of turning to the Lord, of turning away from their sins, of seeing their sin as sin, of seeing God in His goodness and turning to Him. So don't have fellowship with the works of darkness. Expose them. Be a light to people. For it is shameful, Paul says, even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Again, see, he's not focusing on the telling others of what these things are that are wrong. He's focusing on living and shining the light, because some things are so vile, we shouldn't even really be talking about them. We shouldn't be sharing what's going on. We may need to talk about them enough to warn people, but we got to be careful about that, because some things are so shameful. And notice again, it says, which are done by them in secret. In secret. It's amazing in our day, all the secrets that are being exposed. I mean, you know, we used to think of politics as a noble endeavor, governing our people, the public servants. Remember when we used to call them public servants? And now we mostly call them scoundrels and rogues because of all the things that are done in secret, the darkness of men's hearts that are hidden, but then they become exposed. And he says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. It's only through the work of the light that we can see. If there's no light, you see nothing. When you see something, it's because there's light there. And the light is shining into that and making it manifest. So the things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Whatever causes something to be seen is light. It's only light that can make something visible. If there's no light, there's nothing that's visible. Light shines into the darkness and illuminates what's there by reflecting off of it, showing us what's there. So All things are manifest, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. That's a hard verse to translate, but basically you got the idea. Light shines on it, it becomes visible. Now, part of the goal there, again, is that God is wanting to spread the light. He's wanting to spread the light. We shine into the darkness so that those in the darkness who want the light can come to the light. You know, you hear stories sometimes about people lost in the woods, and then they saw a light. And it's like, that's their rescue. That's what guides them to their salvation. And that's what guides us to our salvation. We see the light and we come to it. Either that, or we see it and we run from it. We're either going to react one way or the other. We're either going to be drawn to the light, or we're going to be driven away from it by wanting to hide what's in our own hearts. Therefore, he says, verse 14, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Interesting. This is probably something from a chant or a song or a call to worship or a baptismal formula of the early church. It seems to be related to the verse we read this morning from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, which called us to walk in the light. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." But look at what he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Even those who have light need to seek light. It's easy for us to be asleep. Is everybody awake right now? It's easy for us to sleep when God wants us to be awake. "Awake, you who sleep." Spiritually, he's talking spiritually, not physically. "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." You need more light? Wake up. Get back into the Word. Look at what God will do for you. So, God wants us to not just be people who come to the light, not just be people who reflect the light for others. He wants us to be people of light. How does that kind of light spread? We did that at Christmas Eve, didn't we? Do you remember that? Light a candle. One little candlelight. Use it to light more candles. Those candles light more candles. Guess what? That light is spreading. Spreading throughout our service. It's spread throughout our service. God wants us to be light. We go to the Lord to get that light. Or we take that light from the Lord to others. And they get it indirectly through us. But really only because the Lord is in us, shining that light. We become lights because of his life in us. But then we're lights, and we can spread that light to others. Are we spreading that light? Are others seeing that light in us? Are they wanting what we have? We want to live as children of light. And the result of that is that some people are going to totally reject us because they're going to say, "I don't want that light. I want to live in darkness." And other people are going to come to us and say, "What is it about you? What is it about you? There's something different about you, and I want to know what it is." Live as children of light. Christ will give you light. That light will illumine. That light will expose. That light will guide. That light will energize. That light will bring life. That light will dispel the darkness. But only as we take that light from the person of Jesus Christ. We need to awake. We need to turn away from the deeds of darkness. We need to not go along with them, even for the ride. We need to expose them by shining the light. We need to transform those in darkness by sharing the light with them. But to do that, we've got to be children of light. We've got to walk in that light. And as we do that, may the Lord just brighten your way. The path of the righteous is as the light of dawn that grows brighter and brighter till the full sun, till the fullness of day. That's what our lives should be like. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the light that you've given us. Lord, we confess that we could not see apart from your light. We were blind until you shone your light into our lives and opened our eyes. Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, we want to see more clearly. So Lord, draw us nearer to the light. Give us hearts to expose ourselves to the light, to draw near to the light, to shine the light of your word into our own lives, and to reject the darkness that we find there and come more and more fully to the light. Lord, we want to walk in the light. We want to be and live as children of light. We want to shine into this world, Lord. There's so many people who have no hope. They're lost in the darkness, and they're just looking for a glimmer of hope. Lord, make us that. Bring us to those people. Let us shine before them and give them hope in you through us. And Lord, may we more and more see our sin for what it is and reject it. Confess it before you. Bring it to the light so that it can be dealt with, so that it can be killed. And bring it to the light of others where we need to. But especially bring it to your light. And may we forsake it. May we renounce it. Everything that we've hidden because of shame, may we renounce. Even here today, Lord, as we look at our hearts and we recognize the things that we've hidden because of shame, we bring them to your light, Lord. We recognize them as sins, whether they're actions, words, thoughts, feelings. We bring them to you, Lord. Shine your light into our hearts and minds and souls and set us free. Cleanse us, forgive us, and make us new in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.